Right then, Prem review. What a few fucking days it's been in the world of football. I've got my notes here now, like you can see. Liverpool shitting the bed is where it starts for the note. I didn't have them last time, and I forgot crucial things. A lot of interesting stuff happened, and of course I jinxed it for all the Liverpool fans, didn't I? We knew that was coming. I made the foolish fucking mistake of saying after Liverpool beat City, they were back in the race. They've got a game against Nottingham Forest, and they're going to build momentum from that. Well, they immediately lost 1-0 against Forest. And what was weird about this game, actually, watching it, was they had 75% possession over 90 minutes. So 75% possession in a game. And they couldn't score. It is like, that stat is ridiculous. And it just wouldn't happen to City. And it wouldn't happen to Arsenal, right? It wouldn't happen to Chelsea under Potter. That, to me, is like indicative of there are other problems with Liverpool. Now, yes, they're still fucked up at the back. And I'll tell you, Alexander-Arnold played in this game again. And that motherfucker's got to go. He's got to go. Like, he was bad in this game again. The best chance for Liverpool fell to Van Dijk. And Van Dijk, like, I don't know, I guess he's just forgotten out ahead and everything. All you need to know, best outfield player for Liverpool was Milner. Again, like, you know, he's been getting a run in the team with injuries and everything they've had. And he's just, like, I don't know how he keeps going. The engine he's got. But, you know, they created all these chances. And there just wasn't a fucking clinical finish to be found. And it's crazy. And, like, low-key, no one's talking about how much Salah's kind of dropped off in the Prem. Like, he's not been getting the goals. Like, he still makes the runs. He still looks good. He came up with the big goal against City, right? Like, but I don't know. He's missed a lot of chances. And it was the same here. There wasn't a clinical finish to be found. Meanwhile, I don't think it was like Nottingham Forest put on a masterclass. But there was like some good players. And everyone was raving about Henderson again after the game. I don't fuck with that at all. Like, you know, this was Liverpool just not being able to finish their dinner. It's not that Henderson's a good keeper. Wish that meme would just fuck off and die. This was like shocking, actually. It was like a legitimately shockingly poor performance overall, and just not able to take all the chances they had. Like Klopp said afterwards, he said, we are as low as possible now after this Forest defeat. And it's like, it was only 6 days prior, you're beating City and you're saying you're back in the title hunt, and now you're at your lowest point. So I really don't know what happened there. It just seemed like really weird. There was some Liverpool fans said they missed Thiago. Obviously, he didn't play in this game. He had like a fucking ear infection of all things, apparently. The issue wasn't getting the ball, winning the ball, dominating, setting up the chances. The issue was just the finishing. Like, there was just no composure, real lack of quality. And like I say, if you dominate a game the way that they dominated away from home, 75% possession, you got to put the ball in the back of the net at least fucking once. And yeah, I just don't understand why they weren't able to do it against Forest. So look, I don't know, like, overall, like, without getting into the weeds, like, assessing that game, I still think that game's an anomaly. Like, I still have to believe that there is going to be a run in this season where Liverpool are unbeatable. If Liverpool get that run, other teams are going to struggle and drop off. We're already seeing Tottenham have had a bad couple of games. Are Man United going to sustain it? City's defence is a bit iffy. Arsenal are starting to get tired. The European matches, the midweek matches are building up against them. There are going to be periods where these other players drop off. But after they lost to Forest, they were 11 points behind Arsenal, who had to play Southampton, which we'll get to. So, I'm sorry, Liverpool fans. I predicted you to win the league. I fucked that up for you. I jinxed you. I predicted you to beat Forest. I fucked that up. I jinxed you. I'm still predicting you to get into the top four and, you know, challenge and mix it up a little bit. Maybe be a spoiler for someone else, win some big games. But I don't know. Like, I just feel like, yeah, fuck me, I guess, if you're a Liverpool fan. Yeah. Can't really argue with it. Chelsea versus United. And this is going to set up the main talking point of this Prem review. It's going to be a little bit themed, not so much on the matches and the results and the play and the stats and all of that stuff, but let's instead, we're going to end up talking about bad refereeing in the English Premier League and VAR again. So this one, Chelsea and Manchester United, this game was like a real fucking, you know, edgy nail-biter game. It was like 50-50, like pretty much on possession. United had the better chances. Chelsea were like looking to counter a little bit, but there was some like real class in midfield. And look, I think if Man United, if the game had stayed where it was meant to stay in its current game set and it had stayed 0-0, I think on the road, you know, picking up a fucking draw against Chelsea away from home, especially when you consider they were getting spanked 4-0 by fucking Brentford not that long ago, I think they would have been really happy with that. But then, of course, we had the McTominay incident. Now, for those who didn't see it, McTominay basically, like, full-on moment of just dickhead level stupidity where McTominay, ball comes into the box, McTominay just decides, I'm just going to fucking wrestle with somebody right in front of the ref, and obviously it's given as a penalty. Now, what was really weird was loads of people were saying that that penalty was soft, that it shouldn't have been given, that that goes on in the box. He did it on, it was Broja, he was wrestling. But like, that goes on in the box every time the ball comes in. That happens at every set piece. Why is the ref giving it there? Guys, the ref is always meant to give that. This is the point. When refs let it slide, that's bad refereeing. This, calling it out as a penalty, which it undeniably is, that's good refereeing. Any form of shirt pulling or putting two arms around the player to impede their run in the box, it's a penalty. It's a fucking penalty. I've seen defenders, like allegedly elite level, world-class defenders, revert back to defending with their fucking arms, like all of a sudden. That's one of the things you always get told as a kid. I'm talking school level football. I'm talking the level of football I got to, right? Like, your fucking coach tells you, don't defend with your arms. He tells you, don't grab the players. Like, you can't do it. Seems to me absolutely fucking wild as fuck that anyone would say it was a soft penalty. It was a nailed on stonewall penalty. And Scott McTominay, man, like, get him out. Like, I know he runs. I know probably there's some sort of sense that we do need some sort of, like, big, strong Celtic, Gaelic presence in midfield, like old. Roy Keane, he fucking ain't. For real. Like, this guy is a clown. Absolutely. Has to be fucking dealt with. You know, giving away a penalty, it could have cost them, but I'll tell you, this is emblematic of Ten Hag's transformative United. Did they give up? Did they fuck? And in the end, Casemiro, we'll talk about him in a second, he gets a 94th minute equaliser, great ball in from Shaw, fucking a header. This motherfucker got up like a salmon, like, you were fucking ridiculous. Looping header, in off the post, you know, and deserved draw, easily deserved draw. So let's talk about Casemiro. I said he had to be on the park from the moment they bought him. He was the man of the match in this game. Casemiro has been quality. I think a lot of people got Casemiro wrong. I'm willing to say I was one of them. I said it wasn't a Ten Hag signing. Again, go back and pull up the tape. I said he wasn't a Ten Hag signing because Ten Hag likes to play a high tempo pressing game up the pitch where Casemiro likes to sit and just defend and spray balls. And so, you know, those two things don't often combine. Ten Hag's had a little bit of flex in his tactics. He's getting the best out of Casemiro. Casemiro has been absolute quality. He's got to start every game. He's like, right now, like, with everything else that's going on, he's exactly who you need in your midfield. Because, as I've explained, all these teams that play this pressing style and close you down with multiple people, the only way to beat that as a system is with quality passing on the ball and composure, or being able to beat a man. Well, Casemiro, he can do all of that if we're being real about it, but his passing, his composure, his coolness, and his drive, like, he's really protecting a shake, you know, what has been at times a shaky back four, looking Really, really good and a great signing. I've got to say, like, a lot of people thought he wasn't a Ten Hag style player. Ten Hag wouldn't want him. Ten Hag wouldn't use him. That Casemiro was just there for a paycheck. He's made Man United infinitely better. And he dug them out of a hole that McTominay had put them in this game. We then jump to Southampton versus Arsenal. As I said, midweek games are starting to creep up on Arsenal now. They're going to, you know, playing these European games in the middle of the week. They looked leggy and tired in this match against Southampton. They really struggled. They got a 1-1 draw. You know, Xhaka got a goal. Southampton got a late equaliser. But man alive, I'ma just show it to you. Because, you know, a picture speaks a fucking thousand words. I cannot understand how we have McTominay given for a clear call, right, on the Saturday, and then this happens on a Sunday. The ref was diabolical in this game. That was not called as a pen. Less than 24 hours after McTominay had done it, because that was the evening game. Are you fucking dizzy, blood? Like, you cannot be serious. This is the fucking Premier League. Like, this is the Premier League. Like, what is that? Like, two pissheads stumbling out of a nightclub at fucking 4 o'clock. That is, like, that is not a fucking fair tackle. It didn't just end there for Arsenal. Like, there was all sorts of shit. Someone got grabbed by the neck. Right, this guy. Lacano. Or however you say his name. How the fuck did he stay on the park? Like, I saw this guy commit about fucking 3 or 4 fucking fouls, like, in a game. Put it this way, I'm never going to shut up about it. That's pretty much what I did to Loder. And everyone said I deserved to be in prison and banned from esports. This cunt didn't even get a fucking yellow card for it. So, hey, you know what I mean? And I was being attacked. Absolutely fucking insane. He also threw an arm at Jesus, like a little petulant elbow out there. So, and the ref let all of this slide. And, like, I'll tell you, yeah, Arsenal, it wasn't a winning performance, but if the ref had done his job, they would have had a win. It was one of them. Arsenal, by the way, didn't even complain about it, I don't think, much afterwards. I watched Arteta's interview. He said it was painful. Like, fair play to Arsenal, where their heads are at. They acted like they'd lost the cup final after this draw. And it's a draw. And it's a draw at a part of the season where you're going to pick up draws against lesser opposition away from home. And actually, being able to do that over giving up cheap losses, that might get you over the line and win you a title. And, you know, they're still top of the table. So they were like, they were fuming. They were spewing about their performance. They should have been spewing about the ref. Literally, Arteta said, there are no complaints. He should have a fucking ton of complaints. I know all the Arsenal fans had a ton of complaints. I had a ton of complaints as a fucking neutral, you know what I mean? I don't like seeing dog shit refereeing ruin fucking games, stop teams having a chance to get to the fucking title race, make it interesting for us. Like, nah, that's bollocks. But that's the story of the fucking Premier League. I probably should just segue into talking about Tottenham, Newcastle. When Tottenham played Newcastle, which Newcastle won 2-1, it was a fantastic first half performance from Newcastle, and then defensive resilience against Tottenham Hotspur when they were coming on the home straight. But, like, I'll tell you, I saw a handball get, like, just flat out denied that would have been given all season. And it's the type of handball I don't want to see given. But a cross comes in, the defender goes to, like, tackle it out, ball bounces up, hits the hand, right? No one even cares. No one even cares about that. Like, it's just whatever. But, like, the ref went and checked it on VAR and said, nah, that's sound. We had that. We should have had a penalty. There was some, like, just wrestling in the box again on a player. Like, you cannot fuck it up in such close proximity to when dickheads on Match of the Day are praising the referee and going, listen, say what you will about it. You can't call it a soft penalty. That's just good refereeing. What about the other two clowns? What about the other two clowns who don't call it? What about all the other refs that, like, are just wildly inconsistent? Because this we'll get to. An identical handball was given on the Monday game. So Saturday, it's a handball. Sunday, it's not. Monday, it is. Fuck you, Premier League. Like, fuck you with your respect for refs campaign. Fuck you trotting out your fucking interviews about when managers abuse referees. It encourages it at all levels of the game. Fuck you. I'm telling you now, you deserve a little bit of abuse. Book your ideas up. How many fucking tools do you have to do your job right? Let's just assess it, right? The old referees, you can do the fucking Doge meme if you want. The old Giga Chad referee and his old milky eyes and fuck all else. By the way, going back, you didn't even, like, I'm pretty sure at the start, you didn't even have linesmen. They weren't invented until, like, later. But okay, you got your linesmen and you got your own milky eyes. And that's what they had to deal with. Refs today have a referee, a second referee, looking at a monitor that they can talk to at any time about anything. Two assistant referees that have a higher degree of training than used to be given out to linesmen. You have a Hawkeye on the fucking goal line. You have VAR, which you can review when there's a natural pause in the game and take as long as you need to arrive at the correct decision. And you are still getting decisions wrong. This is mental. You could train a child to do your job. It is a joke. So if you cannot get it right with all of these fucking tools, it's about the people. It is incompetence. It is rank incompetence on a mass scale. And I am telling you, it is going to cost a team its existence at some point. Hyperbole? High drama? No. We all know all these top clubs just piss money away and get around financial fair play rules, and they all get bailed out by sugar daddies. But some of these other teams that come into the league that don't get these breaks, like Bournemouth, like we're going to talk about, Bournemouth have had 10 VAR reviews this season, and not one has gone their way. You're going to kill a club because they're going to drop out of the Premier League, and then they're going to have to sell all their players to survive in the Championship, and the parachute payments aren't going to be enough. And next thing you know, they're on the brink of fucking extinction down there in League Two, and they're out. They're going to go bankrupt, and it's refs that are going to fucking do it. It is a joke. It is a fucking joke. So it is serious. The refs have got to book their ideas up. And I've got the world's smallest violin for you dickheads. Like, literally, you've got everything you've wanted year upon year. We've even simplified the rules now. And you still fuck it up. It's ridiculous. So anyway, I was watching the Newcastle game. And like I said, we should have had, like, two penalties probably in this game. Like, oh, and that's not bias. But the ref let it flow. It was a good game, you know, it was all fine and dandy. We had like a weird fucking thing as well where there was a VAR check on a goal that like took like 4 minutes and it was just obviously fine. But just to talk a little bit about the match, Newcastle went into the top four off this result. We were like, we're just looking really fucking solid right now. It's like, we've got Bruno, we got Joe Linton. I can't believe I'm saying it. This was like Joe Linton's best performance, by the way, since he's come to Newcastle. It took a while, but this was a performance where he actually looked like a Premier League midfielder. Like, I feel sick saying it. It's making me bilious, but Joe Linton had a great game. Bruno, by the way, is just God tier, and everyone played well. Wilson stayed fit. Almiron, it was something mad. Like, he'd scored like 9 goals in his previous 110 matches, and he's got 6 in 12 this season. So Almiron filling the breach because Saint-Maximin's been out. You know, Almiron filling the breach and giving us that goal threat and a bit of pace moving forward and running at defenders. You know, that's just been fantastic. And we found that extra thing and, you know, that extra yard that we need. And Botman's been super solid at the back with Byrne. Yeah, we're a really good team. For Tottenham, I saw, again, I nearly threw up. I saw someone say, right, oh, well, after this week, because they had back-to-back losses, obviously, we all know what happened in Europe in the middle of the week. Everyone was like, oh, negative Conte ball. Conte out, Tuchel in. I was like, right. One of the big criticisms coming in from the fans is that they don't... They're saying there's no midfield creativity. They don't have a creative midfielder. Like, Kulishevsky's out. Like, look at their squad. Like, I don't know what to tell you. They have got people, like, that I don't get it. Like, I don't understand what they're doing, like, why they're getting played, honestly. I don't think Conte has better options. But, like, okay, Ryan Sessegnon. Nah, Not good enough. Overrated for me. Sorry. Never rated him. Bissouma was sold to me like he was going to be, like, you know, some fucking absolute dominant force. Like, a creative Conte is what we were supposed to be getting at Tottenham. Nah, wasteful on the ball. Gives it away too much. Silly tackles. Bissouma's not good enough, right? And he was the signing. Perisic is old, but he has chipped in with assists this season. Also, I got a message, because people message me about Prem Review all the time. Well, they've all been really nice and dialogue-y generally, no hate. I never thought talking about football would be safer than esports. Ed One, he says, Richard, you say every week that Perisic replaced Kulishevsky. They don't play on the same flank. And Perisic is being used as a wing-back. No, what I meant was, when I say that he was a replacement, obviously Kulishevsky got injured ahead of the transfer window, and so I don't think the Perisic signing would have happened if Kulishevsky had been available. I think they looked to bring in somebody who's like a bit more utility and can be creative and can be played in a variety of positions as Perisic has throughout his career. So that's what I mean, you know, by that. But Perisic, he's like 33. He's the one that does all the huffing and puffing. Bentancur, he's probably their best midfielder with Kulishevsky being injured. And then who else have they got? Saar? Like, who is there? Like, really, there is not a single world-class creative midfielder if Kulishevsky's not on the pitch for them. So you can't blame Conte for that. You can't say that's Conte ball. If he had better midfielders, Tottenham are going to get better results, you know, like with the style of football he's playing. I think they're solid defensively. Not amazing. They seem to do this weird little zonal thing. Like, you seem to get way too much time around the edge of the box and in the box. You can always take a touch. I don't know what's going on with that. And they're lights out going forward. They've got an unbelievable strike force. They just need, like, one or two midfielders. They need to step up their game. Or in January, they just need to go get one, like, actual creative midfielder. And then they're fucking sorted out. So anyway, Tottenham, like, what happened was as well, and I thought this was hilarious. Obviously, I don't talk about the European games in Prem Review, but Conte was spewing after what happened in Europe, because you saw they had that 95th minute winner, 2-1, would have put them top of the group, I believe, and obviously it got disallowed, and people didn't even know the rule, people didn't understand it was the correct decision, people were going, yeah, but the ball went backwards, yeah, that hasn't been the rule for a while now, it doesn't matter, it's where you are when the ball is touched, Kane was offside, it was the correct decision, and then Conte came out today and he did like a little interview where he was talking about VAR, and they were going, VAR, oh, it's just not football, is it? It's just not football, is it? It's like, VAR fucking did you so many fucking favours in the Newcastle game, by the way. They went over, reviewed it, and somehow didn't award handballs, somehow didn't give penalties. So you don't get to complain about VAR when it's been your friend most of the season. That'd be like Liverpool complaining about VAR. Fuck off. But anyway, Newcastle, are they good enough for top four? No, they're not good enough for top four. Of course they're not. We're going to get found out over the season. We have a paper thin squad. One or two injuries, we're fucked. Like, God forbid anything happens to Bruno, we're fucked. You know, we've somehow survived not having Saint-Maximin because we pulled Almiron out of the ether. But we won't be able to do that again. We lose Botman, we're fucked. You know, it's if Wilson gets injured, we start playing Chris Wood, we're fucked. So no, we're not good enough. You have to have a really deep squad to get into the Champions League in this day and age. The season's so long and so brutal. So nah, not us. I'd have bit your arm off for top six at the start of the season. So whatever. Now, I haven't talked a lot about Bournemouth. Bournemouth, man. I would be furious. I would be fucking furious. I just can't tell you. This game was a disgrace to English football. An absolute disgrace. So Bournemouth lost, right? First of all, at their end, a cross came in. Tilo Kehrer has put his hands here. Like that. I don't know why. And he's jumped, right? And the ball has come in. And he has pushed it towards goal. Like a volleyball boost. Not one hand, but two. Go watch the highlight. It is mental. I'm watching it. Well, that's a definite handball, right? And then the people that were watching the game, I think it might have been Lee Dixon, said, well, that's definitely a handball. This won't count. And we all just sat there. Me, Lee Dixon, I don't even know if it was him. You. And the ref's given it. And said, this is a natural position. His hands were in a natural position. I was like, that is one, when you look at it, it is one of the worst decisions I've seen any referee make ever at any level of the game. It is an outrage. It is an outrage. Now, Bournemouth are behind against Hammers. They go seeking it. Then they get hit on a counter. And an identical, right, a cross from Benrahma comes in, hits Zamora in the box. Not to be confused with the great Bobby Zamora, Jordan Zamora. It hits his hand in the box as he's like diving in the exact same way that wasn't given against Tottenham. And it was the 91st minute and the ref, VAR'd it, said, yeah, that's a definite deliberate handball because his hands are not in a natural position. Even though another ref had said that was a natural position if you were sliding in the Tottenham game. And so Bournemouth have lost this game 2-0. Now, look. Statistically, probably West Ham deserved to win. They had like 20 shots in this game. It was mental. They created loads, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But just on the fact that Bournemouth are showing this tenacity, and let's be real, Bournemouth are mid-table at the moment, but they are going to get sucked back into the doldrums, into the nightmare as the season goes on. You know, they're mid-table, but they've only got 13 points, right? And I still think Bournemouth have to be among the favourites to get relegated. Things like this are going to cost a club. And then when I heard Gary O'Neill afterwards say that statistic about 10 VAR checks and not one of them having gone Bournemouth's way, don't ever tell me big clubs don't get preferential treatment in the Premier League, because there is no way that statistic could be true. I see refs get VAR calls wrong every week. How could Bournemouth not benefit from 1 out of 10? How? It's impossible. Absolute nonsense. I felt super sorry for Bournemouth. Bournemouth has made, like, you know, a bit of a fan out of me, because obviously, since they got rid of Scott Parker, they've been just a totally different team. And Gary O'Neill, he's looked really, really good, you know, in the job. He's handled himself like really classy guy. Even with this, he was like, you know, credit to Hammers. Well done to Hammers, but what's up with this? And that and that. Really, really like the dude and really like what he's done with the squad. And I want Bournemouth to stay up. But West Ham, they were just better than where they were. When they were languishing in the bottom three and they couldn't score goals, you were like, what's happening here? But I did tell you, Benrahma is like way better than people fucking give him credit for. Benrahma is a sick, sick player. For me, like, because Rice, I think he gets way too much shine. I'm not a true believer in him. Benrahma has been great, and Shamaka was great in this game too. Still a little bit wasteful, had some chances. But this was just, for me, Benrahma masterclass. Best performance of the season, and that's saying something, because I thought he was amazing against Forest. West Ham kicking up the table. They were too good to stay down where they were. They should finish in the top half still, I think, with the squad they've got. Moyes is doing a good job there, and you know they've been a little bit unlucky with VAR and bad refereeing as well earlier in the season, particularly that Chelsea call. But yeah, this was just one of those where it's like your heart goes out of Bournemouth. They've done absolutely nothing wrong and been absolutely fucking rinsed by terrible reffing, which is just the Premier League standard. The final point, I've just got it written down here, and it's not much to really get into, but just thought it was a funny way to end Prem Review. Steve Gerrard, as we all know, finally got found out. He'd been on fraud watch all season. Now his watch is over. He's out. He's gone. The fucking game after Villa take on Brentford, and they spank him 4-0. They didn't even fucking look like the same team that Gerrard managed. They actually looked like they gave a shit. And I'll tell you, I fucking hate it when I see that. Because players, you know, players basically know they can just get a manager fired. Like, all you have to do is play at 90% instead of fucking 100. And your manager's gone, he gets the blame, he loses his job. And they just came out like, right, Gerrard's gone, fraud watch is over, fuck Stevie G, let's go batter Brentford. And they did. And it weren't even close. They could have been 6-0 up at half-time. It was fucking mental. Like, where's this team been all this fucking season? Nowhere. They've let Stevie Gerrard fucking die for that. Like, I don't even know why. He must have done something wrong. must have pissed these boys off, because like if Villa play like this every week, they're all right. They're sorted. They're mid-table. Like, this was mental. Like, Brentford aren't a bad side. Brentford are going to be in that mid-table mashup as well. So, yeah, who'd be a fucking manager, eh? So, there it is. That's Prem Review. You've been reviewed.